Do a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. Hello and welcome to Talent Takes Time, conversations with inspirational women who talk to me about their journey into their dream career and the things they would tell their younger selves. Today, I'm chatting with TV and radio presenter Natalie Sawyer. You'll probably recognise Nat from Sky Sports News, where she spent years both in the production team and fronting the news, often alongside Jim White, and a key fixture on transfer deadline day. Nat was reunited with Jim on TalkSport and is a passionate Brentford fan. So we start right there with how lucky she feels to do the job she loves.
Listen, I love the industry that we're in. I think we're fortunate to be in it because actually, I think we all love football, for example. We all love sport. So that's why we're doing it. And I think for me, that is such a bonus. There are many people that work, they just do a job. And that's all they do. They don't do a job that is they're passionate about. And I think we're very fortunate that we are doing something that we all adore. And if we weren't working in it, we'd still be supporting our football teams. We'd still be, going to games, et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to say that first of all about how I think we're very lucky and fortunate to be in this industry. What would people not know about it? It's relentless. I think lockdown and post-lockdown has shown that with all the games that we've now had. And I think it's every day that you're consumed by it, because if you're not actually at a game because there's no match days, you're preparing for it. So it never stops. You're always working. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Antisocial is such the right way to describe it, because you're away from your family, you're away from your friends. You can't sometimes go to a wedding. You can't sometimes go to the events that all your friends are going to who work the normal Monday to Friday. So yeah, that's a massive side of it that perhaps people don't think about. Because when you go to a game as a fan, you go, you enjoy it, and then you get to switch off and go back and do your normal things. But we don't get to switch off because there's always stuff to still be doing after the game. And then you might be traveling to another game for work. And it can be relentless, the schedule, absolutely.
I want to talk about journeys. I think it's really important because when people hear you on the radio, they don't know all those hard yards that you put in over the years. Now, we crossed paths at Sky Sports News, and actually, at the time when I was presenting, you were still producing, and I think it's so important to explain to people that you did all that stuff behind the scenes and how much it can help when you're actually on air.
Absolutely. I joined Sky back in, and this is testing me now, 2002, I think it was. I started out as a runner. So I was making all the teas and the coffees, running scripts. And as we had then, the tapes that we used to have to run, now it's all very digital and you don't need to worry about that. But yeah, that's what I was doing. That's what I started out as. And then I sort of made my way up within a production team. I started doing all the sort of what you'd know as the ticker and the side panel on Sky Sports News. And I sort of progressed my way up. And I, for me, felt that was really important because I wanted to know the behind the scenes stuff. I thought it was really, really important to know all that so that if I was ever then given the opportunity to become a presenter, I would understand why things fail and why things perhaps aren't working out the way you would expect them to. But equally, I absolutely loved working behind the scenes. We had great production teams, great people working behind the scenes. I loved it. But yeah, it was a journey. I think it probably took me about 5-6 years before I eventually made it onto the TV screens. But like I say, I enjoyed it. I think I was a runner for about 2 or 3 years and I absolutely loved it. I didn't want to move off from it because I found it so, I just loved it. Because also you got to meet all the guests that were coming in because, you know, you needed someone to go and collect them from the different gatehouses or meeting points. So I absolutely loved my first job at Sky, but was very thankful that I was then given that opportunity to try out to be a presenter.
I would echo this sentiment. I took the same route as Nat. I was a broadcast assistant at CNBC, learning things behind the scenes and working my way up. Some of the things I learned at that job have been invaluable, like rolling autocue for someone else. That's a perfect example. Staring at that machine for hours on end, firstly, seeing how it can go wrong, but more importantly, learning how to deal with it. Writing scripts made me better at reading them, and cutting picture was so important to understand the mechanics of TV. But that step over to the other side of the camera is a big one.
You do find yourself copying what you think is successful. And actually, sometimes you're told by the bosses, watch so-and-so, watch how they do it. And you think, well, if they're doing it right and the bosses are telling me that's how I should do it, then that's how I should do it. But actually, That's forcing yourself to be someone that you're not. And I do remember the first, gosh, I mean, I don't know how long it takes for you to really become 100% comfortable, but even that first day that I went on air, and I remember sitting there thinking that I was absolutely relaxed. Obviously I wasn't, but and feeling as though I was moving around freely, but I really wasn't. And I was doing things like this, thinking that I'm moving. I'm really moving. I'm looking really comfortable, but I wasn't. I was so wooden. And yeah, I don't know how long it takes. I think it's obviously the more and more you do it, the more comfortable it becomes. But yeah, to develop your own style, your own personality, again, that does take time. And as much as you think, well, that person has a successful formula because you feel that person is that number one presenter on Sky Sports News or wherever you're at, it is so important to just be yourself ultimately at the end of the day. And your true talent then comes out, I think. You don't want to force it. You don't want to pretend you're somebody else. But you're absolutely right. You do have to be 20% extra. You have to give a little bit more than you might normally do. And that's just that's partly down to things like the lights and the way the studios are set up, as silly as it sounds. But yeah, you do have to force it a little bit, but force it naturally from within yourself, not because you're copying somebody else.
Yeah. A lot of the girls I've been chatting to, women I've been chatting to, have spoken to me about how the ladder is not always straight. And sometimes you have to kind of take jobs that you might see as a step down, maybe pivoting, changing a little bit. And then you maybe realise that actually it's not a step down at all. It's just a different string to your bow. Do you have any examples of that? Has your career been a bit like that as well?
Well, I suppose, I mean, when I first started out media, it was actually before Sky Sports News. I was at university in Leeds and I worked for a football website, Team Talk, for pretty much 2 years, let's say, of my university life. And then actually I stayed on for another year after I finished uni because I worked at Team Talk and they started a radio station. Now, it was very short lived, unfortunately, but we were so excited to be a part of it. And I was, you know, someone that went on at the time it was a traffic and travel presenter, but I absolutely loved it because I saw that as my first opportunity into this media world that I was so keen to be a part of. And then to go from that to then as a runner, that was in a way was a, I don't want to say it was a backward step, but it, you know, you're starting out from having been on radio and feeling as though this is the start of a career to then having to restart at a news TV channel, which was very different. I have then, I would say, probably been fortunate that my career has sort of gone up the right way. I haven't had to take too many sideways steps.
Pretty much every person I've spoken to on this series has a story like this. Having reached a level in their job and then having to take a step down, even when you're pretty senior in your career, it can feel pretty damaging at the time. You don't want people to see you as doing that role in case they forget where you've been. But sometimes it's a necessary step to achieve something. I left a production job on an award-winning TV breakfast show to sell pots and pans on a shopping channel. It was a joke among my friends and family, but it was the only way I could get on-camera experience. I speak about this and how it was a step down, but shopping TV actually provides valuable experience and should never be laughed at. It takes skill to do that job. I have more examples. I had hosted live football shows at World Cups and presented on huge sport networks, but when I went into radio, I had to do a 10-minute paper review at 6 a.m. in the morning, for which I made a loss after I'd booked childcare. I did this to show them what I could do and eventually got a hosting role out of it, but not after endless mornings of dragging my pregnant body out of bed at 4 a.m, creeping past my sleeping child and husband, and getting on the first train to leave the station. Opportunity is disguised as hard work. And then there are the times that, for no particular reason, the mat is pulled from under you.
I was at Sky and probably presenting for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, given the opportunity to then present on the Football League. And I did that for a season and a half. Absolutely loved it. But then they just suddenly told me I wasn't doing it anymore. And they didn't really give a reason. It was just like, that's not happening anymore. And
hard, isn't it? When you always want something you can improve on, or you want to know if there's a reason, and sometimes there just isn't a reason. It's happened to me as well.
Yeah.
But I think you just have to kind of suck it up and believe and hope that the next opportunity is even better.
Absolutely. But it does hurt you. You know, you think, well, what have I done wrong? Especially when, for me, I support a team that's in the Football League. So I was immersed and am immersed in the Football League. So when I was given that opportunity, I absolutely adored it. And lucky enough to present some of the playoffs and playoff semi-finals in Leagues 1 and 2, and did the Football League Trophy final at Wembley in front of 70,000 people, which to this day will always be one of my massive highlights. But yeah, for that suddenly to be taken away, and you felt like that was, in a way, that was the next step for me. Like, this is it. This is where I should be going next now. And then that was just taken away, and not to be given a real reason as to why, or certainly not being given the guidance as to how you should improve to make, maybe next time that opportunity comes around, you cement it and that's yours. So yeah, there are little curveballs, should we say, that you're hit within this industry, but it does make you stronger, that's for sure.
In any other industry, your CV and experience, your output and your goal hitting are your protection. But in presenting, your face just might not fit. The timing may be wrong, or they fancy a change. You need to know that from the start, or you'll be constantly disappointed. My mantra has always been, go and find the people that want you rather than trying to convince those who do not. Nat has a little boy. She had him before I had children, so she's been dealing with the juggle far longer than me. So I wanted to get her advice on how she manages.
Do you know what? I've got a 9-year-old and he is quite a mummy's boy, loves to be around his mummy. And the harder things are when you have to tell them, well, tomorrow I've got to go to work now, so I won't see you. And I won't see you until, I don't know, like I used to work when I first started at TalkSport, I worked in the evenings. So I used to have to get in at, I don't know, 4:30, and I wouldn't get home till 11. And so I wouldn't see my son until the next morning. And so that was always hard because he used to hate that. And he'd always be asking, Mummy, when is it your day off? And that pulls on the heartstrings, those kind of moments. And so when I then told him, Mummy's changing her shifts, so Mummy's going to be around every night, his face lit up. And it's those little moments that you suddenly think, wow, I'm a mum who has a huge responsibility, who is loving her career. But yeah, like you say, there's just those moments that you suddenly think, oh, you forget how it affects people. And so I'm quite pleased that I was able to change my shifts to benefit my son, really, to be around pretty much 24/7.
In this series, I try and focus on the honest and brutal truths of this industry. Some people are afraid to reveal them because apparently we're supposed to be grateful for the fact that we're doing the job we love. But these things don't have to be mutually exclusive. And Nat opened up about some of the challenges she faces.
Well, first of all, starting out, for me, it would have been people taking you seriously. When I started out at Sky, as I've said before, as a runner, people sort of questioned me straight away as in, oh, you're only here to be a presenter. And that used to rile me because I was like, no. It's not it's not a given that I'm going to be a presenter. And two, I want to try everything because I want to see what I'm good at. So that used to annoy me that just as soon as a girl comes into Sky at the time, the first assumption was, well, you're just here to be a presenter and you're not interested in anything else, which was never the case for me because I was so delighted just simply to be there and then to be given an opportunity to try different roles. And I was lucky enough to do that. But I also have found in the past that it's very difficult to make contacts. And I don't know if you've found that, Alison, but...
Oh, yes.
There is a line that is often crossed when you try to make contacts in the sense of I have given my number to people or innocent. And that is crossed when they start sending you messages that you think, well, this is not what this was intended for. And I think that's the hardest part for women in our industry. And there will be, don't get me wrong, there'll be plenty of women that are making contacts and are brilliant at doing that. And there is no line crossed. But I have found that very difficult because the line has been crossed a number of times.
It's impossible, isn't it? Do you know, I discovered it in the very early days.
Yeah.
And I felt so deflated because I was like, all I was trying to do is be like the men and do exactly what the men were doing. And I remember I came up with a line, which I quite liked. I basically said, when someone asked my number, I said, yeah, I'll give you my number, but I am a journalist and I will be asking you for interviews. That's what I always used to say. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the time they'd say, oh, don't bother.
When we first put this clip up on social media, it surprised so many of our male colleagues. I think they hadn't realised how difficult it can be trying to do the same job as them, but struggling just because we're female.
I remember meeting a manager whose name I won't mention, and I'd said to him, because I'd met him previously as a player, and again, it was all very sociable, there's nothing more to it. And I'd said to him when he became a manager, I was like, I'm so happy for you. If you ever need anything from Sky, this was when I was at Sky still, if you ever need anything from Sky, don't hesitate to message me. And then within a very short space of time, he sent me a message and it was not the kind of context I expected. So, and it wasn't, don't get me wrong, it wasn't really rude or suggestive, but it was, you knew this was a tone of friendship that was different to what was it intended for. So, yeah.
And then you almost end up feeling a bit prudish if you try and change that relationship in some way. It's really, really difficult. And I found that when wanting to go for a coffee or a chat with a manager or a player just to do the job that I was doing, it would feel like a very different kind of chat to if one of my male colleagues was doing it. And unfortunately, there's not a great deal you can do about that. I just don't know what the answer is.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Unless you just do it in a group. So there's a few of you going together, but absolutely. And it shouldn't be the case. And hopefully in time that will change. But yeah, I've certainly found that a massive challenge within our industry.
I loved speaking to Nat about this. We've known each other for years and crossed paths at Sky and TalkSport, but we've never had the opportunity to discuss any of it. I fear there are so many females working in sport carrying the same worries and issues and not having the opportunity to speak about them.
So finally, advice time. What would you say is your biggest piece of advice? Maybe you even have a quote that you live by?
Gosh, I would say be yourself, which is kind of stemming from that conversation we had before about when you think you're copying someone else because that's the right formula. But I would always say be yourself, because actually to be successful in this industry, you do need to be you. You need to sort of stand out by being you. Don't be the formula that people think is successful, because actually people get bored of that. And sometimes it's nice to have someone that's different, and that is you. So I would always say be yourself. Be prepared to sometimes go through setbacks, to also unfortunately suffer some sexism, because there is that still within the industry, but I think it's massively improving. Just work hard, be diligent, make sure you know what you're talking about, read up, make sure you're and just be passionate. I think if you're in this industry, you need to be passionate about it. So yeah, be yourself and be passionate are the things I would say.
I can't reiterate this point enough. Trying to be someone else is a waste of the person you are. And cheesy and cliche as it sounds, I've seen it so much. Now the marketplace is perfect for it. Employers want authenticity. They want to see you and every little part of your journey and personality. So if you're feeling a bit down that things haven't gone quite according to plan, and of course they haven't under COVID, just remember this. Whatever it is, it's your journey. This is making you you. All of it is important. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Nat on the 3 T's Talent Takes Time. We'll see you next time. Talent Takes Time is presented by me, Alison Bender. The series producer is Gary Hayes, and Matt Alabaster has produced all our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. If you'd like to know more about my career in the media, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter and TikTok at AliBenderTV. You can also sign up to my website, alisonbender.com, for more information on getting into the media industry. This has been a production for the Highway 61 Network.